Got a short reading now from Isaiah chapter 40. You can find that on page 723 or 4, depending which edition of the Bible you've got. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. And this is his word. Amen. Jenny's going to bring us our second reading, which you can find in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's on page 1196. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
So 2 Timothy 3, that's right. Goodness in the last days. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their servants, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my patience, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen.
So, Dick, come and share with us.
Thank you, Chris. I told someone the first time I preached, probably after coronavirus, I had wondered for 70 odd years why I had such sticky out ears. But now I find out they're useful in their time. say thank you for the invitation, say thank you for leading, choosing the hymns, and thank you to our pianist. I like your style. We have a guy at our church who plays, and he's doing this all the time. He doesn't look at his music because he can't read it, but I thought when you started with the songs that you started with before the service started, it just reminded me of him, and I said something to Jane about it. Just like to pray before we start and look at the scriptures. Dear Father, we want to say thank you that as Paul wrote to Timothy there, that our understanding of the scriptures is that they are God-breathed. They are your word. They are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that whatever man says and whatever man thinks, you are the Lord, God Almighty. And that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Saviour, the Saviour of the world. And so we pray that as we look into these things this morning, that you will help us to understand and take strength and confidence from your word and from you yourself in these days. So help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, for any of you that have got an order of service, you will see that what I've entitled this morning is what on earth is happening. And sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't talk about the things that are coming upon the world and such like, because people get frightened. I don't want to frighten folk this morning. I just want them to help to understand who's in control and what's happening and what will happen, and that we are prepared, whatever comes, that we know that the Lord is in control. So we read those words from, thank you for those that read those words from Isaiah, that all may change, that all flesh is like grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The psalmist of old, and even we go into the New Testament, and there is Paul writing to Timothy, encouraging him to understand the same thing, that whatever goes on in the world, that the word of the Lord endures forever. And whether you take that as the written word, which is in here, or you take it as the living word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, whichever way you take it, that it endures forever, it doesn't change. And therefore we look at what on earth is happening, and you know, tonight is Halloween. To start with, it's strange, isn't it? But as a youngster, I didn't even know there was Halloween. It was not anything that anybody seemed to bother about. We knew it was the end of the month, and the clocks would change, and all that kind of thing. But as far as Halloween was concerned, and yet over these last few years, it seems to have gained an immense amount of credence upon people, and our schools are putting all kinds of stuff up so that the children can get into this thing. We have moved the last few years into a village, and I think most Halloween nights we've had somebody come in trick and treating or something like that, and somehow. We seem to be turning back to our pagan roots and looking into them. If you went around Kate in our village and down the cycle track, which is an incredible boost to the village, you can go any weather, whatever. There's a way you can walk out in the countryside, but you'll go down to Pennybridge, and there you will find that that there is a witch's trail. We're wanting to go back to the Pendle witches and consider that they're not too bad after all and all the rest of it. We are seem to be obsessed with going back to our pagan roots and forgetting the God that that so incredibly delivered us. Only just 70 odd years ago, 80 years ago, we seem as though we're forgetting these kind of things. This weekend, people are starting to get together there up in Glasgow for the COP21, is it, whatever they call it. I get mixed up between COVID and COPs and all the rest of it. COP21.
26.
20, right. 26. It should have been last year then.
26.
Right. Well done. Whatever it is, they're meeting there. 30,000 delegates from all over the world, and they're flying in from all these places, and they're causing all kind of pollution. They're causing all kinds of stuff that's happening. They're trying to sort out what we can do to save the planet. Sir David Attenborough has had a lot to say about that. And we must understand that a lot of these people have no understanding of who created the world in the first place. They don't want to understand that there is a creator. And therefore it's us that has to save the planet. The world leaders were meeting in Rome yesterday, today I think it was. Joe Biden was a picture of him going to kiss the Pope's hand and acknowledge who he was. With his 85 car cavalcade, big petrol guzzlers, most of them flown in, it said, for the purpose, and he's just one of them. And we start to think, well, just what is going on amongst all these people? They want you and me to pay 140 or 140 odd pence per litre for petrol. But what's happening with all these things? I think it was announced that Insulate Britain were going to be demonstrating up there because they think that what they do will make a somehow help to save the planet and what we're about. And you have these other people who demonstrate about these things, who stop the traffic and all the rest of it, cause mayhem. We have had not that long ago the Extinction Rebellion and their desire to erase our history, good, bad or indifferent. If you don't understand your history, you make the same mistakes all over again, and these kind of things will happen. COVID-19, how have you gone on? Good to see you all here this morning. And as a fellowship, it has not been easy during lockdown keeping your spiritual fervour and understanding that as a fellowship you have a purpose. I give my sympathies, if that's the right word, to pastors who have to try and pastor a flock in that kind of thing. You know, if something goes wrong, you can't go and visit your people. You all that kind of thing, and somehow you have to either work together or you start to fall apart. We are grateful in our fellowship that for the thing called Zoom, and we've been able to meet all Sundays, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and tonight it's quite interesting tonight. Well, this morning they're starting in the book of Ephesians. 6 weeks somebody's going to be preaching on a chapter of Ephesians, and then Sunday night we're going to have house groups to discuss it. And would you believe it, the old ones are going on Zoom. You know, they don't want to go out to anybody else's house, so we'll meet on Zoom. The most unlikely to understand the technology, but for us it's incredible. We keep as a part of a family, and that's an incredible privilege. So COVID, and there'll be all kinds of theories why COVID is here, all kinds of theories why it came and how it came and all the rest of it, and well, it's here, isn't it? And whether you've had your jabs or your booster jabs, or you've you don't agree with it, or you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on that that people could get quite uptight about. And whatever you think of it, we've had both our jabs and we've had our boosters, so you're reasonably safe if you give me a hand pump or whatever, maybe. But there's these things that are going on, and it engenders fear in people. I think that's one of the greatest downsides, is the fearfulness that people have about associating with one another, about going here or going there or doing what you do, and that is sometimes difficult to handle. Lately we've had all kinds of shortages. I don't know whether you had to queue at the petrol pump, but the local garage in Caton did quite well, really, but there was plenty of queues there, but mostly they kept the pumps flowing. But then you watched on the news and you saw long queues and people not able to get their petrol. You could go into the local co-op and some of the shelves were empty. Sometimes it was milk, sometimes it was different things, simply because they hadn't the drivers they said to get the stuff into the shelves. You could go into Aldi or some of these other shops and shelves will be empty there because they can't get the goods there. They tell us that you're going to struggle to get a turkey for Christmas. Now that would be the pits, wouldn't it? But, all because of a shortage of migrant workers not being allowed in, and a lot of people love to blame it on Brexit. There's a great pressure for us in this country to go back into the EU and all that means, and there are a lot of people that are putting pressure on that. And they'll blame Brexit for everything. But there are these problems. But I would also like you to look at the other side. That I don't know how many years it is since abortion became legal. But today, there will be over 500 babies will be murdered in their mother's womb. Today. Every day. And that's what's happening. And then they wonder why we're short of workers. We have what is known as shot ourselves in the foot by legalising something that is against God's will and allowing these things to happen. And therefore, those that would have been the heavy goods drivers, those that would have been this and that and the other, are not. And I find it interesting, the things that people say about these things. But for us, I think that the way that things that are going at the present time, there are moves afoot to make it possible to murder babies up to the time of birth. And that's horrendous. Horrendous. But that is something that is going on. Not only getting the desire to get rid of us when we get older as well and make that legal, but I don't know how many of us would last very long, but anyway, that's the way we're going. whatever else has been happening. Sir David Amis was murdered, stabbed to death couple of weeks ago, is it? 3 weeks. Just doing his business as an MP, and people are up in arms about the violence that there is. But it's a number of months ago since it said on the BBC that over 100 people had been murdered in London, knife attacks, had been killed, the worst that it had ever been. It's getting worse every year. And you wonder about the violence that goes on as well. And that kind of thing can make people fearful. But understand, Paul said to Timothy about persecution, about violence against the Christian, and all over the world today, as our sister prayed in her prayer about the, I think it was, or it was our good friend before, who prayed about those in other countries who were being persecuted for their faith. That kind of violence is going on against Christians all over the world. We are a privileged people, a very privileged people, and don't take it for granted. Make the most of what you can do and what you have and what there is at the present time, because who knows what's happening. We'll not cover about what's happening in universities, the woke thinking and all that kind of stuff. It's bad enough. Black Lives Matter. Understand what's behind that. We do believe that black lives matter. We believe that all lives matter. And again, we was on Zoom one night praying for the persecuted church, and a coloured lady out of London was on our particular group, and the first thing she started praying was, "Oh Lord, all lives matter." And I thought, from her, good lass, well done. Understanding. But you see, even all lives matter from the time of conception, not just from the time of birth. We need to understand that. All lives matter. So what else is happening? I don't know whether you know, but we've been in the Methodist Church all our lives. I was a Methodist local preacher for 55 years, and at the end of that time I've resigned because I felt that I could no longer agree, as they had wanted me to do, to abide by their understandings and their doctrines and to preach nothing else. So resigned. And as a fellowship we also resigned. And in the last conference this last June, the Methodist Church passed 4 resolutions. They passed a resolution to agree that gay marriage was acceptable, and that they were willing to marry gay people in their churches. And the superintendent of the circuit in which we were has written a letter straight away after to welcome gay people to his church, that he would love to do a gay marriage as early as this autumn. So the resolution 2 was that it was living together before marriage was completely acceptable. We used to call it shacking up together. And whether you were heterosexual or you're homosexual or you're lesbian, it's fine. It doesn't matter. That's fine. Resolution 3 was that they no longer believe that conversion is possible. It's called conversion therapy, and we know what they're trying to get at. It's the LGBT that are pushing all this. That the Lord desires you to come just as you are, which is what we believe. You come to Jesus. But then he is happy with you as you are. To our understandings, it is that you come to the Lord just as you are, but then he makes you into what he wants you to be. And he changes you. But we no longer believe that in the Methodist Church. You're fine as you are. And fourthly, whatever you think of this one, they agreed to tighten sanctions against Israel. BDS, that kind of thing, that Israel no longer has any rights in that land. They need to abide by what they think. And these sanctions need to be pushed harder and harder. And that is not just the Methodist Church, but the Anglicans are struggling with it, the Baptists are struggling with it. That's why you are a free church, and you need to understand where you stand before the Lord and keep walking in those ways. Don't get sucked into the thinking of religious, traditional religion. Because on all these subjects that we've just had a little brief look at, the church is very silent. There is no one, but it seems, that has a voice, a prophetic voice in these days, to stand up and say, "The Lord says," or "Thus saith the Lord." All our leaders seem to be either complacent or complicit, and it's difficult to understand. So we have all this, and then we have all the stuff that's happening in the world with weather patterns. Fires, floods, earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, cyclones and droughts. Wow, they're all over the place if you care to listen. Different things that are happening. Yeah, and it's surprising when you a reporter reports, he says, and it's like a biblical proportion. And, well, why don't you listen to that a bit more, me mate? You know, it's... So, where do we turn? What do we do when all this is happening around us and things look black? Well, I feel that we need to turn to the Scriptures. We need to turn to the one who created it all in the first place and see what he has to say about these things. So we look in the prophets, the Old Testament. Remember, Paul said all scripture is God-breathed. Therefore, that's that. We look in the letters in the New Testament, and we look especially at the words of Jesus about things that will be. And in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Jesus, probably the same report from a different person of what happened at that particular time. They're against the temple, looking at the temple, and they see this magnificent building, and the disciples say, how will things be? And he starts to tell them of things that will happen in 40 years' time. He didn't put that time span on, but that's what he tells them. And you know, it happened just like he said it would do. But then he starts to talk about things that are going to happen in the distant future. And they are the things that we are seeing now. I know that some of these things have happened right down through history. And if you look in Peter, someone says, scoffs, where is this coming that you talk about? Because things have never changed. Things have just keep happening. But the stuff that Jesus was talking about at the end of those chapters, or end of that discourse, are happening before our very eyes. And that makes us think, that understand, that somehow the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must be pretty near. We talk about the last days. A day in the eyes of the Lord are as 1,000 years. But 2,000 years have gone since he talked about these things. And somehow they seem to be stacking up at the present time. What would happen? And in those those discourses, Jesus talked about the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And we know that these are violent days. They're violent days throughout the world. We know that they're days of gay rights and LGBT rights and all that kind of thing. And that is being pushed throughout the world. You know, some of these poor countries, you can't have aid from us unless you agree to our understandings of gay rights. And I think that's terrible. I don't know what you think, I do. It's what's known as blackmail in many books. And therefore, that is the kind of thing that is being pushed. And Jesus said to his disciples, it will be as in the days of Lot, because if you read about Sodom, that's what was going on. If you read about Noah, he said it was violence. Everybody was doing that which was right in his own eyes, same as it was in the days of Judges. And they didn't understand that Noah there had been building that ark for longer than we've lived, at any rate. And he said he was a preacher of righteousness. But they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And so what happened. And they had no idea until God shut the door. And that's what he's talking about in these days. But also Paul in 2 Timothy 3 talks about how people will be and how God's people will be persuaded to understand things that are not true and things that are not right, and how heresy will be prevalent in the church amongst the religious people of the day. Just as it was in their day, they were having to stand against the Gnostics. They were having to, and if you want to understand what all these people are, ask Chris to preach on them. But all these different heresies that there were about just moving people, the Judaizers and all the rest of it, they were moving people away from the central thing about the Lord Jesus Christ being preeminent in all things. So we are today. The same kind of thing, that the thing that has gone wrong with the Methodist Church is that the liberal theology has got in such a way that people no longer understand what is happening. Peter talks about these things, Paul talks about persecution, and it's the worst now that it ever has been in the whole of history for Christians. And the world doesn't care a dot. By and large, you never hear of it in the news, just occasionally, but really not very much. And what did Peter talk about? He, in 2 Peter 3, 10 to 13, it talks about the earth being burned up, the sign of things that will be. And then we talk about global warming and what's happening and who's behind it and what's going on. Quite interesting. You go back even further to the Old Testament prophets, and Micah chapter 7 verse 13, depends which translation you have, Micah 7:13, at the end of his prophecy, he says, the earth will be destroyed by what man does to it. And you can see it happening at the present time. But then the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the other prophets, the minor prophets, they start to talk about who mainly prophesied, before and during the exile of Israel and Judah, they started to talk about the reasons why these things would happen and had happened. Israel went into Assyria, Judah went to Babylon, Israel never, the ten tribes, they never did come back as a whole. We know that after 70 years the tribes in the south came back just as the prophet said it would be. But why did they go? And one of the main reasons was that religion was corrupt and it was empty. It was simply religion. And religion kills. You need to have a personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus. Religion is do, do, and do. And faith in the Lord Jesus is, he did it for me. And that is what we stand on. Well, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they had much to say about the false prophets and unholy priests leading their people astray. Oh dear. Oh dear. What is happening today in so many churches and places? They even worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Well, what are we doing today? So much. It's astrology, it's all these kind of things we're getting into. The pagan past again. Even one of the prophets say they even offered their children unto Molech. They burned them in the fire. And if that isn't abortion, I don't know what is. Because it's the convenience. We don't want to abide by God's sexual laws. Therefore, we want to be able to do what we want and not to pay the consequences. We need to understand that for every decision and every act that we do, there is a consequence. You can choose to do what you like, but you cannot choose the consequence because it follows as night follows day. And denying the God who gives them breath, much like it is today. So in Isaiah 24, God, through Isaiah, tells us how it will end up. And Isaiah 24 is quite a frightening chapter, so I won't read much of it. Isaiah 24:4, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people on the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants. And if you go into scripture, this thing about the earth being defiled, it's all to do with the shedding of innocent blood. It's to do with shedding innocent blood. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant, therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. And then he goes on in verses 19 to 23. The earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. So whatever is happening around you, don't be afraid, because God is still in charge. God will reign. And how do we come across that kind of confidence in him? We can go back to the Isaiah again, to the prophets. Isaiah 1, verses 12, I think it is, I'd better put my glasses on, verses 18 to 20, come now let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Even in the Old Testament times there was salvation. From the things of the world, from the ways of the world, and the consequences of the world. There is a way of salvation, a way of escape, for those who trust in the Lord. So don't be afraid when you see these things happening all around you. It is a sign, we believe, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and he will take his children to be with himself. The Lord shall reign on Mount Zion. Yes, we know he's coming back to that place, that hated place, that Jerusalem, that will be a heavy stone for the whole world. You see it happening all around them. And he will reign in justice and righteousness. And all this stuff that's going on, someone will make sense of it, because he is the one who created it in the first place. And he's the one that can keep you and me, whatever's going on in the world, and whatever we might be struggling with. He has promised that he will be with us always, even unto the end of the age. And therefore, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. See the signs, open your eyes, open your ears, but look up to the Lord. Because he is the one who can keep us in all these things. And we need to trust him. Our blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Time's up. We'll give over. But I'll try and sing you a song. If you'll bear with me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day! Glorious day that will be, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, but forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Chris.